It's showtime.
Here's Carl. Carl's here.
Yeah. Hey. Carl. Hey, Carl.
What's happening? You guys are talking about Amy Schumer and Howard?
We just started, yeah, because I knew you had a clip of it, so.
It's funny because as I popped on here, I heard Drew talking about the exact thing I wanted to talk about. I have the clip if you want to hear about this death threat nonsense.
Okay, Carl, take it away.
I just brought this one clip. I'm actually going to be covering this on WATP this weekend, this entire interview. I sat through the whole 2 hours of it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, did you really?
You look worse. Doesn't he look worse for wear? And I'm going to only attribute that to having to listen
to him. Knocking his hair down because his hair's usually going straight up.
Yeah, you look a little unkempt.
Wow. What a fun introduction I'm getting today.
Well, no, it's because you're
Amy Schumer's fault, obviously.
So let me give you the setup for this real quick. She's talking about how she now asks everyone's permission before she tells a joke about them.
Oh, my God.
Bullshit. Yeah.
So, that's absurd. Yeah. That is absolutely ridiculous. How can everyone who is doing stand-up ask everyone who's the butt of a joke if it's okay? That is a ridiculous precedent to set, and if you did it, you shouldn't be talking about it.
You shouldn't be a comedian anymore.
Exactly.
No. So she says she does it because she doesn't want the camera to show the celebrity with a sour look on their face after the joke. So she's like, I get them prepared for it.
Oh, she's stocking the pond. She's stocking the pond. In other words, so that she knows they're going to yuck.
Also, I think it proves that we shouldn't have comedy at any type of Hollywood award show. There's nothing comedic about Hollywood. They take themselves way too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Agree.
Douchebags. They should just be pretentious douchebags in Hollywood. Just do that. Anyway.
Good job.
So she says that. And then this is where, right after that, she tells this story.
But Kirsten Dunst, I did a bit with Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons. That was completely orchestrated. We talked beforehand. And then after I did it, you know, the joke was that I was pretending like I thought she was a seat filler. And, we all worked that out together. I got death threats. I got the Secret Service reached out to me. They were so bad that the Secret Service reached out to about that bit. I'm like, oh, I think you have the wrong number. This is Amy, not Will. Like, you are getting death threats. Okay. Okay. Wow. Not that I want Will to get death threats, but it just, the misogyny is unbelievable. And people, you know.
Wait, I'm not understanding. Why did you get death threats?
Yeah. What does misogyny have to do with it?
And what is the Secret Service? Are they always keeping tabs on just Amy Schumer?
I guess so. She's been added to the list.
I wonder if they got duped by those two fake FBI agents.
Yeah.
Wait, so guys threatened her life because they're misogynistic in their hate of her joke about Kirsten Dunst? I don't understand how you connected misogyny to that.
Correct. Trudy, you must get death threats all the time then, right?
Constantly.
Right. It's misogyny.
Of course.
I can take it.
Silly me.
What's funny about Amy Schumer is that she wants to be both a Hollywood celebrity and a victim at the same time. And I think you got to choose one.
Yep.
Yeah. And focus on it. And she's doing really good at the victim one.
Yeah, that was
she's
so
she's better
odd.
At that.
Well, it's like, she goes, I got death threats for that. It's so off. Well, I mean,
her talking about being traumatized by the slap, she hosted after that. She came out. She made a stupid joke. She addressed it, made a light joke, because that's what a comedian is supposed to do in a moment like that. But now we know inside she was really traumatized.
He didn't get slapped.
I love, Carl, that you left the end of it on there, because Howard didn't even understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, you weren't getting death threats. What are you talking about?
But I just want to say that it's not misogyny. Like, Amy is unlikable. She's an unlikable person. That's the reason why she gets so much hate. Yeah. She thinks because she's Jewish and a woman. No, it's because you've alienated your whole audience.
Yeah.
You've decided that you hate all white males, that we're all terrible people. We used to like you. We used to think you were funny. And now you're not funny anymore. And you complain all the time.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to stand-up comedy, are white men the biggest purveyors, consumers of stand-up comedy? Well, is that possible?
There's a lot of us.
Wait, consumers of?
Yeah, consumers of.
Are you the target?
I mean, if you went to... I know we're a convenient target now, but...
You are.
It just seems like I know more guys who love stand-up comedy. I do know some girls that do love stand-up comedy.
That's your privilege.
Not as many.
That's your privilege. You can enjoy humor.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Whatever.
Coming. Yes. Okay.
God.
You believe
me? Also, no, I just want to point out, whatever. As a guy who has received death threats, I have received multiple death threats. Get over it. It's not real. It's not a real thing. Calm down. I hate when people talk about death threats. Were you really fearing for your life, Amy? Is that what's going on?
That's a great point. That's really good.
I can't believe after all these years in business of some kind that she couldn't like put all those aside. Wouldn't you be used to it by this point? Hearing that kind of stuff. And like you said,
she didn't get death threats anyway. So I don't even know why we're talking about it.
In the day, she got an occasional death threat or just shitty comments.
Someone investigates Secret Service. If they're investigating death threats against Amy Schumer, isn't there more problems with Secret Service than fake people being in Secret Service?
I'm well, serious. Could it be because Chuck Schumer is her uncle? Maybe she's got a connection.
Yeah, I thought so.
Maybe.
I don't. Nobody really tightly connects them, though. It's not like she's next to him or.
I don't think it happened.
I don't think it happened either. Let's move on.
Yeah, I think she's playing the victim card. What I wanted to talk about today is Gilbert Gottfried. I'm a huge fan of Gilbert's, and he's made lots of appearances on lots of shows over the years. I thought we'd go through and remember Gilbert a little bit.
That's great, because I heard Stuttering John. I haven't heard it, but I heard he did a fabulous eulogy for Gilbert.
I want to, we'll close with that one. Oh, okay. That's pretty fun. Okay. So starting off, there's a show called Keith and the Girl. And Gilbert was on their show in 2015. They were talking about those tsunami jokes that Gilbert got fired from Aflac over.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a fun clip because Gilbert's on the show, but Keith, the host, is reading the tweets to Gilbert. That he put out right after the tsunami in 2011. This is my track number one.
Japan is really advanced. They don't go to the beach comes to them. What do the Japanese have in common with Howard Stern? They're both radioactive. What does every Japanese person have in their apartment? Floodlights. I just split up with my girlfriend, but like the Japanese say, there'll be another one floating by any minute now.
I love that he made himself laugh really hard listening back to him. Oh, that's great.
So then Gilbert explains he doesn't adhere to the rules of too soon when it comes to comedy.
That always got me when they say too soon.
Why is it okay later?
Yeah, because it's like you can make a joke about the Titanic now.
Right.
And it's like I'm thinking, so if you make a joke about the Titanic now and you're a good person because you didn't do it back then, then you're saying, okay, I waited. Fuck those people who died on the Titanic.
Yeah.
That's great. That's really good.
I saw Gilbert do stand-up right after he got fired from Aflac, and he came out and he opened with this whole thing about the tsunami, and I can't do it justice, but basically what he said, he goes, I can't believe these poor people in Japan, what happened to them? He's going through, and then their house was flooded, and then they lost their pets, and he's going through all this stuff, and then they all went on Twitter and read my jokes. We're live in any single way. It was so stupid.
But then the worst part is Aflac replaces him with someone who's copying the way he says Aflac.
Yeah, did they probably paying him anyway for that, right?
Oh, did they pay him for that?
Well, he was getting paid millions for that. It seems like not a difficult job.
No.
I think I could do that.
Oh, no.
Gilbert put out a formal apology after that whole controversy with the tsunami tweets that he put out. And then he went on Howard Stern and admitted that the apology was completely fake. This is my track number 11.
He came on the show and then immediately admitted that the whole apology was written for him. That he really had nothing to do with it. Here he is confessing.
I'll be perfectly honest. that was like out of the machine, you know, apology 176. Okay.
Here it is. I sincerely apologize to anyone who is offended by my attempt at humor regarding the tragedy in Japan.
Yes, it was.
I meant no disrespect, and my thoughts are with the victims and their families. Were your thoughts really with the victims?
Is there anything about this that is true?
All right. Don't people know your thoughts are only on you and how to save money?
Well, it's kind of like when Mike Tyson has an apology or something released to the press.
Right.
And it's so eloquent.
Have you made a tsunami joke since? Now that, I mean, you are fired from Affleck, you might as well.
Yeah, I made a couple.
You did. You're still doing it.
A couple of other.
Right. So your thoughts are no longer with the family?
I sent out a Twitter on Hitler's birthday. Yeah.
He's so funny. He's always going for comedy first.
Yeah. Cost him a few times, but worked out.
So Anthony Cumia talked about Gilbert for a bit on his show this week. You know, Gilbert had been on Anthony's show, and Anthony used to do the show with Artie Lang, and Gilbert and Artie together was just amazing radio. They used to do Stern all the time. And so Anthony explains the precise reason why I never got into Gilbert Gottfried's podcast. You guys ever hear Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast?
Yeah, I did. It's about a lot of old people that are, like, they've been dead longer than I've been alive, it seems like.
Yeah, so isn't track it? Number four, this is Anthony explaining what his podcast is all about.
But just a genuinely funny guy. His podcast, the Gilbert Gottfried Super Colossal Podcast, was just brilliant. It was geared toward just me, just people like me, fucking boomers who love old television, classic horror movies, sci-fi. Yeah. I grew up on that. And, you know, a lot of the conversations I've had with Gilbert over the years have been about television and movies and celebrities that have been long forgotten. And, you know, the people that you look at on TV go, who's that guy? What's his name?
Gilbert's like an encyclopedia of old-timey TV and film.
Really?
So I was checking out his most recent episode, the last episode he did of his podcast before passing away. He had on this guest, Karina Longworth. And I just have a quick clip, number five, just to show you what Anthony is talking about. This is from the very beginning of that podcast.
Another one of my favorite actors, and this is, we're going to have a fight now. And that's like anyone who knows me or has listened to me on the podcast knows I am a Major League fan of Lon Chaney Jr.
Oh, no.
We're getting to it right away.
All right, let's have it out.
Okay. In fact, I mean, it's like one of the movies I picked when I was a guest programmer was the original of Mice and Men, which I thought Chaney was great in that.
Lon Chaney Jr.?
Who was that? Okay. Lon Chaney Jr. was in a 1939 version of Mice and Men. And that's Gilbert's like, that guy was a great actor. What a great part that was. What?
Well, the last podcast I remember hearing about Gilbert having was Gilbert was going on and on about what a great guest Dick Van Dyke had been. And I'm like, Dick Van Dyke's alive? I didn't even know he was alive. He's like 94.
Dick Van Dyke is healthier than you are.
That's No, he's very healthy.
Yeah.
At least I know who Dick Van Dyke is. I had no idea any of the references these two were throwing at each other. I'm like, okay, I'm out of this.
It's a great reference, though.
Yeah, he was good at that, but it was not a terribly current show by any means.
The funniest thing about Gilbert is that he never lets go of impressions. He still does like Bela Lugosi. It's so funny. Very much a vaudevillian act, Gilbert Gottfried. So Howard Stern, I was surprised. I had to go and listen. I haven't listened to Stern in a very long time. And I said, is he going to address Gilbert? Because Gilbert was on the show over 140 times, but he hasn't been since the Marcy Turk era. So it's
really
been a long time. Yeah.
Really?
Why? Howard stopped having funny comedians on the show and said he has Amy Schumer on.
Oh man. I didn't know it was that bad.
But it's not like he is Gilbert that bad?
Yeah, for what?
Really?
For where he's going.
Really? I don't know.
I tell you, every time I turn Howard on now, something worse happens. I mean, in my head. And this time, it wasn't just the Amy Schumer thing and, oh, Amy, that's terrible. You know, the death threats, which was like going, no, there were no, Secret Service never called her. If they did, that's wrong. Then Howard goes into this thing about how, you know, he's was so abused in his schools. And then he is talking about gay people. Because shortly after that, he had a call from the gay firefighter. Did you hear that, Carl? It's on the same show.
Yeah.
And he talks about how, yes, there's a big movement in this country to push gay people back in the closet. And, you know, those of you who are voting for the politicians. And I'm like, there's not a big movement to push gay people back in the closet. What is he talking about? It's like, this is like victimology. 101, not Howard 101.
Amy was throwing in references too about that, like, oh, and you know we're going to lose all of our rights, you know, and but I'm like, wait, what are they talking about here?
I was just like, what the hell? I can only listen to it for so long because Howard can be on a really funny track with me. I still can laugh at stuff he does, but then he'll go somewhere and I go, oh, I just never expected this out of this guy.
You don't go to him for social issues. You go to laugh. You know,
I just recorded a show in Philadelphia this week with my buddy Tony from Hack the Movies. It'll be up on YouTube next week. And what he does is he talks about a movie for a full length of an episode. And we did Private Parts. So I watched Private Parts again just this week to get caught up on it and discuss it. That movie holds up. It's so great. Howard used to be so funny and so interesting. Mm-hmm. And he's not even close to the same person anymore.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if. If he would even want to screen that movie anymore, because there's probably stuff in there that he wouldn't even run in Best Of now.
Yeah.
I mean, that Best Of is so, it is so sanitized. I mean, there's nothing, there's probably no Gilbert in Best Of, I bet, on the 101 channel.
Well, that was interesting because they announced that this weekend they're going to be playing all Gilbert on Howard 101.
Oh.
And I was thinking that if Gilbert's wife is listening to that, she might want to sue SiriusXM. She might want to talk to Spring John's attorney.
Oh, good idea. Well, I'm still waiting for my eulogy, Carl.
Yeah. All right. So let me get through the Howard Stern stuff, because this is one of the big contentions with the old fans that Gilbert's not on the show anymore. He used to be on there all the time, and Howard won't have him on the show. So I was thinking, is he ever going to address it? And thank goodness he did. He spent 50 minutes or so talking about Gilbert. And they played some clips from past appearances. I just thought they were really funny, and they really captured what made Gilbert such a great guest on the radio. So track number 9 is an example.
One of the early appearances on our show, I knew it was so great. He'd come in and... we started messing with callers right away. We put them back on hold constantly. One of the callers got pissed off, and Gilbert just kept talking over.
Just a second. Yes. All I'm saying is that yes. You know, when you
yes.
talk to
somebody,
you know, yes. I can't get a word in yes. otherwise. And I'm saying you're
we're waiting. Can I please tell us. Yes. Quickly. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead. Yes. 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 Go ahead.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Okay. Okay. Wait. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay, talk to me. Talk to me. Hi, we're listening. Hi, we're on the air. Hey, Rock. Hi. Hi. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Talk. 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 Right on. We have other calls today.
That's great. Hello.
We're in a hurry. We got other callers to take. Come on. Let's go.
That's awesome.
So funny. And then track number 10, because we all know that Gilbert does an amazing Jerry Seinfeld impression.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Gilbert did a great Jerry Seinfeld impression, but he told me that Jerry hated it. And this is him telling that story.
A lot of times I'd be on stage and it would be like the waitresses and other comics and staff would run in and be laughing in the back, and the audience would be scratching their heads. And Seinfeld wasn't known at all back then.
Right.
He was just another comic there. And I would start, you know, going up on stage going, why do they say hello? Why isn't it hell high? Why do people wear shoes on their feet? Why don't they wear gloves on their feet? And Seinfeld would stay out in the bar.
Because he was pissed?
Yeah. So he would walk, he'd pace. He would pace back and forth and go, that doesn't sound anything like me. Why does he think I talk in a sing-song voice? I talk perfectly normal.
He is totally mocking that observational humor, though, with the most simplistic jokes.
And I love that he was doing it before anyone knew who Seinfeld was. Yeah. He was just doing that for his own amusement.
I feel like Gilbert did a lot of things for his own amusement, which is what made it so great.
For sure, for sure. And this is another interesting story, because we all know that Gilbert was notoriously cheap. He would not pay for anything. He's probably squirreled away $50 million for his family, because he would refuse to spend money. And Gary Delabate, Baba Booey, tells a funny story at track number 12.
Gary, didn't you have a friend who went on a date with him, with Gilbert?
It was actually one of my ex-girlfriends, and she called me, and she's like, I think I'm going to go on a date with Gilbert. I'm like, I don't think he's for you. She's like, you know, he's funny. He makes me laugh. And they went to the coffee shop, and they had coffee, and the bill came, and Gilbert went to the bathroom. And she said it got, like, super uncomfortable. Like, the waiter came back three times to, you know, do you have this yet? So finally, she paid it. She said the second she paid it, Gilbert appeared, never said anything, not even thank you. Never said, can I reimburse you? She said that's the last time, you know, she went out with him.
I saw a tweet yesterday.
Sounds like she's kind of cheap, too, if you ask me.
Yeah, she waited a long time.
I saw a tweet yesterday that was from a I think it was from Michael Ian Black or something. It's like, the sandwiches are free in heaven because that's what he was notorious for. I mean, he raided our prize closet.
He did. He left with a lot of stuff from our station.
I was just listening to his former manager explain that in the 90s, when he was managing Gilbert, Gilbert would get booked to do like the Tonight Show or something. And he would tell the Tonight Show, don't buy my ticket. Just give me the money for the ticket. I'll buy my ticket. Then he told his manager, book me a show in LA. I'm going to be out in LA that weekend. And then he'd tell that venue, hey, get me a ticket to fly out there, but just give me the money for the ticket. And then Gilbert would take all this money. He goes, sometimes he'd have $7,500 just from travel and lodging. And then he'd take the shittiest flight possible, the most inexpensive flight possible, the worst hotel room possible, and keep all of that money for himself. Wow.
Oh, good for Gilbert.
I'd love to know how much, like you said, how much he has squirreled away.
He's probably worth a lot. Mm-hmm. Carl, did I don't know if you're going to get in this, but Stuttering John and Gilbert slept with the same chick?
Yes. Yes, they did. And it's funny because the way that John recalls this is extremely insulting to Gilbert. He's very grossed out that they were with the same girl. My track number 8, he talked about that.
He's just not a good guy.
What?
And I'll let you know, I followed Gilbert. Yeah. Gilbert and I are Eskimo brothers. Met this hot chick, fucking gorgeous, big boobs, everything.
Yeah, right.
You know, so we're hanging out. I mean, big natural boobs, great body.
Of course.
I come to her door to pick her up to go on a date. Her father's videotaping it. They're all such big fans. Oh. And then we have sex and everything. Then the second time I'm with her or whatever.
Full batch.
She says, yeah, I used to date this Gilbert Gottfried guy. I go, oh, no. Did you have sex with Gilbert? She goes, yeah. I go, oh. I go, how does that date work? She goes, he tells me to meet him at a bar. I pay for all the drinks. He takes me back to his place. There's only picnic furniture in the whole fucking condo. He's got a closet full of, like, toothpaste that he gets, like at a discount. There's shampoo bottles from every place he stayed. Yeah, I mean, the guy is a miser. But, yeah, I had to follow Gilbert.
I think Gilbert should be grossed out that he nailed it.
Jesus, absolutely.
So apparently, she can't be that fucking hot if she was with Gilbert and John. I'm sorry.
Yeah, her team photo is wrecked.
One of the times when Gilbert was on the Howard Stern show, she called into the show, this woman who slept with both of them, and Howard asked who was better in bed, and she did say Gilbert.
Oh! Of course.
Let's talk about what John Melendez has been up to this week. He puts out a tweet. It says, RIP Gilbert Gottfried, one of the best comedians I've ever seen. I'm so happy to have hung out with Gilbert and do shows together, and he will be missed. My thoughts and prayers go out to his kids and wonderful wife, Dara. All right. So John, and then on his show, he says, oh my gosh, we just lost a great. It's, you know, I was really good friends with Gilbert. Somebody put together a little eulogy mashup in the subreddit Dabblers Anonymous. And I just pulled some clips from it because it's a long clip, but it goes back and forth between what John was saying about Gilbert on his podcast a few years ago to what John is saying now that he has passed away. And track sex is a good place to start.
Fuck Gilbert, to be honest with you. You know, not only did I book him on a gig in L.A. that he bombed at, and I got him $20,000.
Yeah, right.
And I've taken him out to lunch. I fucking you know, I would take him, you know, I paid for his cab rides home. I fucking, you know, everything. And then when I'm trying to promote my book, his podcast won't have me on.
So John's very bitter that he can't be a guest on Gilbert's show. Even after all the good things he did for it, paid for cab fare, bought a sandwich.
Why does he have to book his shows, by the way? Doesn't Gilbert have a booking agent?
He's just that nice of a guy. But Gilbert didn't want him on because he hasn't been in a movie in the 1940s. I mean, he don't really fit the format of his podcast.
He paid for his cab. Why would he pay? Who pays for someone else's cab?
And who brags about it later and tries to hold it over their head?
Yeah.
No, but I can't.
Your cab fare. Who cares?
I'm just picturing the cab driver and going, hey, let me take care of this. Give him a $50 bill. And then the guy takes, what? Nobody does that. You might sneak up and buy somebody dinner, but not a cab ride.
Well, maybe Gilbert just got out and left and stuck me with the bill.
Or maybe they drove a cab together and John paid for it.
He reluctantly paid for the cab. He didn't do it out of the kindness of his heart.
Do you see what an asshole stuttering John is, though?
No, it's incredible.
As soon as someone doesn't help him out, he just trashes them with no boundaries at all. Just like, this guy's a total piece of shit. What an asshole. Like, all right. I mean, calm down. He didn't watch you on his podcast. It's not the end of the world, right? So in track number 7, this one starts off with his more recent podcast where he's like all upset about Gilbert's wife. And then it flips back to 2017 when he's talking about trying to get on his show.
Dara. You know, my condolences, fucking Dara. And I go, Dara, on Facebook. I go, so Gilbert's not going to have me on? Well, they're worried it's just too all about stirring. I go, really? Oh, but you have Jackie on every fucking day. You know, I have no respect for Gilbert.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The loser.
The sad thing about this is Jen doesn't understand why he's not getting booked. He's going, yeah, but you have the other guy from the Howard Stern Show on. Right. They just don't want you on the show. Yeah, they just don't think you're interesting, John.
Nobody likes you.
No, he wants to argue with them and change their mind. Yeah. And the fact is, if somebody says they don't want you, when someone wants to come on the show, you know immediately whether you want them on or not. There's no gray. It's, oh, yeah, absolutely. Or, I don't think so.
In that example, I wish Dara would have just said, no, he doesn't think you're funny. He doesn't think you'd be a good guest.
Read between the lines. Yeah, John, you were a stunt boy on the Howard Stern Show. Gilbert was the most epic guest. He doesn't need you on his show.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, he is not. He's the least self-aware human being possibly ever. Yeah, he really is.
I love that about him.
It is one of his most endearing qualities.
So there's one more clip that I pulled from the Stuttering John Show this week that I thought was interesting. So remember I read you that tweet that he put out? One of the best comedians I have ever seen. So he's talking about this time. Well, in the past episode, he's going, I got him on a show. He was terrible. Everybody hated him. So now he's recounting this time when Gilbert was bombing at this show. And John he's got wet brain. He's been drinking heavily for decades. And it really shows when he draws blanks from time to time. This is 8.5.
And Gilbert's up there and he's getting booed and they're throwing, you know, chicken wings at him and stuff. And instead of, like, even flinching, Gilbert just started going, all right, a guy and a girl walk into a bar. And, well, no, I don't want to do that one. Okay, this guy and this girl are hanging out having sex. You know what? I don't want to do that one either. And he kept doing it. And they kept booing and kept throwing shit. And he finally ends it with the freaking, you know, that great, you know, that long joke that everybody, the,
what?
Not the
aristocrats.
The, come on.
Arista.
You got me. I know Hal knows it in the room. The, all right. Hal, tell me what it is, Hal.
Never heard of no one so shit all stupid as you. You must have got manure for your brains.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm from out of town.
I could listen to him try to come up with words all day long.
Oh,
he goes, what's it called? The awkward. Fantastics? Superheroes.
The Fantastic Four. That's great. Oh, it's only like probably what he's most known for to everybody, right? Isn't it the aristocrat jokes?
Yeah, it's up there.
One of the top things, yeah.
Oh, man. But John booked him for a $20,000 gig. That is so sweet of him.
And I can't believe that. Fear.
Yeah, just out of the kindness of his heart. I'm sure John didn't get anything out of it. It never happened.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote in the subreddit, comedians are dropping like flies this year, so Stuttering John should be fine.
And Amy Schumer.
Yeah, they're probably all right too. No, it's funny though, Drew, he talks about it all the time because he used to set up these tours, Stuttering John and Friends, because he had the name from the Howard Stern show. So he'd bring on like Jim Florentine, he'd bring on these other comedians and they'd do shows together. But he's constantly holding this over their heads. He's constantly saying, I used to give you $2,000 a night when we did shows. It's like, John, you did that for you. That was your vanity thing. You made money off it too. It's not like he was taking money out of his pocket and paying people. Yeah. They were getting out of the door like he was.
No, and he acts like it was the Stuttering John farm system of comedy or something. Yes. He was trading on Howard's success. Come on.
Dude, I just did a show recently with Stuttering John where he was talking about how Jim Norton got famous after doing Stuttering John and Friends. Artie Lang got famous after doing Stuttering John and Friends. I'm like, no, bullshit. You're not the reason why these people got famous.
No, they were good.
They're actually funny, yeah.
They left him in the dust. Yeah, they left him way behind.
He wasn't funny. Did he ever mention the video, the music video he did that Gilbert was in, the one we were talking about the other day?
Oh, God. Yeah, John talked about that.
He did.
That's so fucking bad.
Of course he did. Of course he talked about that.
Horrible song. It's just horrible. And Gilbert's part is horrible. Everything's horrible. Gene Simmons is in it. Sting is in it. Everyone's in it. It has 33,000 views in 28 years.
Oh, my God.
It's usually a career low point for like 90% of the people that were in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, even Minikiss is pissed if they said yes to that.
It truly shows the power of Howard in 1994 that all those people are in that video. That's amazing. Yep.
Well, it also shows what Howard thought of Stuttering John because he asked Howard to be in that video and Howard said, no, there's no way I will do that. But meanwhile, he got Sting to be in that video. Sting's going to be the hardest guy to get to do stuff,
right?
Oh, my
God. I would think so.
He's not wildly available like Dave Grohl or something like that.
Hell no.
Well, maybe John booked him for a show, so he owed him.
Sting, the police would be nothing if I hadn't talked you up.
I booked him for a show and they bombed.
In his camp, they bombed. They weren't funny.
They got booed off the stage.
They were throwing chicken wings at him.
Trudy, do you know how he was hired to work at the Howard Stern?
Yeah, was he a whack packer?
He was an intern.
Well, no, it's better than that. So, yeah, he was an intern. He was an unpaid intern. Mm-hmm. He was hired sight unseen by Howard because Gary goes, hey, there's this guy who's got a stutter who wants to work for us. Howard goes, hire him.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was it.
It's pretty They're genius. Like, oh, yeah.
Good. We'll goof on him. Great. We'll bring him in the studio. He'll stutter. We'll goof on him. Great. And John thinks, he's like, if it hadn't have been Stern, I would have gotten a break some other way. Oh. I was destined for show business.
Oh. I mean, you hear stutter. That's great for radio. That's just interesting radio.
Right. Howard knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and he used him in the right way, too, by asking questions to people to test their patience.
That was a great bit. I did like that bit. Yeah.
And it wasn't
for
because
a very
John.
Short time. Was it 2 years? I mean, a couple years of that? Really?
Well, it was also a funny bit because he would ask offensive questions and not know why they were offensive. Yeah. We didn't even know what he was asking people half the time. And then they'd get pissed off. He's like, what? What do you mean? What's going on?
Well, I can't wait till he gets to Washington, D.C., and he's going to take on these Republicans. Oh, my God, that can be powerful.
What?
Stuttering John versus Republican Party, if he can only figure out when they're in session.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he's going to D.C., Mark, and he's going to have a camera crew, and it's Stuttering John 2.0. He's going to ask these crazy, absurd questions to politicians, and he's already tried some out on his show. So Mitch McConnell, who I'm sure he'll get a 30-minute-long one-on-one interview with. Yeah. He goes, Mitch McConnell, I got like 10 turtle references in all of my questions.
Yeah, because no one has made that joke about Mitch McConnell before.
So proud of himself, Mark.
Oh, that's...
The first one he goes, when you masturbate, is that like waxing the turtle, like turtle wax?
No, really? Oh, my God.
As if he's going to still be standing there after that question, as if he'll even get to ask that question. Oh, are you kidding me?
I actually feel bad for him now if he thought that was funny. Yeah.
He's been talking about this... Carly's been talking about this for a year. He missed it the first time because he didn't know Congress was out of session, right? He was
the
going
funniest
to
thing was, he talked about it back in June. This is when he introduced this concept. He's like, I'm raising money. I'm going to go to D.C., ask these questions. And he scheduled it for August.
When they're out of session.
Congress and the Senate are not in session for the entire month. He's like, I didn't know that. He bought his plane ticket and everything.
What a dull pencil.
Jesus. Quite a dope.
I love it.
All right, Carl, what else you got for us?
Well, the other thing that I brought to listen to, I don't know if you want to listen to this or not, but you guys have brought up that Meghan Markle has this new podcast that's coming out on Spotify, Archetypes. And they haven't released it yet. It's supposed to come out, I guess, this summer or something. But back on March 23rd, they put out a promo for it to get y'all excited about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Played that on the show yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you did play it. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if you played it or not.
Mainly because mainly because Thomas Markle pointed out how angry her voice sounded. What? Okay.
Her voice has changed since.
Yeah. Yeah, she was kind of going Elizabeth Holmes.
It's another one of these shows that talks about why women are victims all the time. And we're going to talk to historians and figure out why we're such horrible victims. It's like, you're not the right messenger for this.
No.
Amy Schumer and Meghan Markle are not the right messengers for this thing. One of the things that Amy Schumer said with Howard Stern is she was complaining about, like, Tina Fey doesn't get the respect she deserves. I'm like, Tina Fey is beloved by everyone. She's funny. We all think she's funny. She's way more successful than 99.5% of men. I don't know how you're saying that, like, oh, poor women, and bringing up Tina Fey as one of the examples.
Yeah, terrible example.
Not a good story that you're telling.
By the way, today there was news that Meghan and Harry met privately with the Queen in Buckingham Palace.
No.
Yep. After skipping the Prince Philip, her husband's, you know, his big death thing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they skipped it.
But Drew.
But they met privately with her, and they didn't bring the kids, so she didn't get to meet the new baby, because that would, they don't want to do, they're not going to let her meet.
Do you think
the
they even showed her a picture, or were they just like, no, no. What about their security?
No, exactly. How could they possibly have had enough security for this?
What could she possibly have been talking to the Queen about?
Oh,
what about a cunt she is?
They want to negotiate something, or they want to work something out. I don't know, but I'm sure the Queen, I hope the Queen says, fuck you, ooh, get the fuck out of here. I mean, I can't believe the Queen would kiss their ass anymore.
The fuck out of here.
Wouldn't that be great if she invited them into this meeting just to kick them out?
Awesome.
Boot them out of the country immediately.
There'd be nothing that would make the Queen more popular. Nothing. Nothing. I really believe that.
That's awesome.
All right. Carl, WATP, who are these podcasts? Sunday, what's the new episode about?
All right. So coming up this Sunday, well, if you want to listen to the episode that we just did, Eric, the great Eric Zane joined us on the show.
That was a good episode.
It was a good episode. It was a good show. We did a show called Blocked Party. This podcast had an amazing premise and horrible execution. It's supposed to be stories about getting blocked by celebrities on social media.
Oh, that's great.
But they didn't have any stories to tell.
No.
So it's like they had like the name. You're like, oh, Blocked Party. That's good. And then they had nothing to talk about. They talked about their cats.
They should have gotten Dennis Rodman to do that that podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Like on the rebound, Blocked Party.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great idea.
Or maybe Dikembe Mutombo should have done it.
I never heard one thing about being blocked. But then, of course, the Stuttering John stuff is phenomenal. And, I mean, you got your song parody.
That's a great idea for... That'd be an even better podcast if they could get the celebrity on.
Who did the blocking? The Richard Marxes of the world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
what are they going to do? Cock blocked.
Cock block party?
I'm workshopping that. Yeah.
That's a great idea, too. Cock blocking stories.
How many times?
Best podcasts begin with a name and nothing else.
That's right.
Yeah. We get that started. Right. Good clock cock blocking stories from people admitting when they blocked a cock.
Cock block party.
All right, Carl. We'll have a great week. How's your show in Nashville doing?
Doing well. Let's not forget WATPlive.com. May 14th, we'll be down in Nashville doing a live show, and looking forward to that.
All righty, Carl. How do people sign up?
WATPlive.com. There's also a link on our website, whoarethese.com, that you can purchase tickets as low as $20 a seat. Come hang out with us.
All right. Nashville's a fun place. Did you get a hotel? Did you take my suggestion?
I got an Airbnb for me and the whole crew. It's going to be a blast.
What are you, Stuttering John now?
But Carl and I paid for his trip.
Shouldn't everybody have a hotel to stay at that's nearby that's got a little discount or something?
It's so silly.
All right, whatever. Thanks, Carl. Fend for yourself. All right, Carl's brought to you by...